Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic Indie Creator interview. It's your Capers here, Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our two new guests, Scott Wakefield and Rory Boyle. We're here to break down Steam Patriots issue 1 and 2 and everything in between. Scott and Rory, welcome to the stream. How are you guys doing today?
So good.
Hey, thank you for having us. Yeah, great.
Yeah. I mean, we are off to an awesome start. I was loving the chat backstage. I can't wait to dive into a little bit of what you guys are working on currently. But before we do too much of that, let's begin with the basics. Let's start out with who you guys are and how you got into creating comics.
You want to start, Rory? You want me to start?
I've
always loved comic books. Avid reader. I wouldn't say I was never one of I just got crazy about certain artists or so forth, but Iron Man and the Avengers was my thing during the 90s and so forth. And then I tried to write. I've always been writing stories. I actually just found a 3-ring binder of a story I wrote. I don't know when that I printed out and I don't even remember it. I don't even remember writing it. It's it's a inch 3-ring binder. And so I gave it to my wife to see if she'd read it. She hasn't yet. I have no idea.
She's still laughing.
She can't get over how awful it is. But after I got out of the Coast Guard, I finished up my degree in creative writing for entertainment from Full Sail University. And while I was getting my degree, one of the classes is comic books and sequential art taught by Mr. Roland Mann. And I realized our story, which we can tell you about, fit perfectly in the comic book, comic sequential art, visual art medium. And that's what set it off with Steam Patriots. We had written it as a novel about 2011-12-ish. A short novel, and then we've been adapting it to fit the comic book medium.
Most of it ends up in the cutting room floor, but
most of it's been jettisoned. That's how it's gotten to a comic book, and I have not been writing comics. I never gave it much thought when I thought I wanted, when I had notions of writing. Always thought of novels and so forth, but the comic book is perfect, because once we started seeing the visuals for Steam Patriots, it was just a match made in heaven.
I can't imagine now finishing it as a novel with the steampunk genre being so visual. You could describe every gear and lever and every cog. Yeah. 12-toothed cog. It's a visual storytelling medium.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah.
So Rory, how did you end up along the way on the journey?
So I was stationed with Scott. We were in Buffalo together. So we had this.
That's so cool. That's awesome. So you guys were on the Coast Guard together?
Yep.
We were backstage, I was like, it's so cool that you guys want to be co-creators going forward after the series. And it all clicks. It makes sense. Of course you would.
Yeah. So, 12, 13, how many years have we known each other? Over a decade, and we're still friends. We can still tolerate each other.
Yeah. It's good he lives in Ohio and I live in New York.
Let's go. Yep. I'm Ohio too, man.
All right. Yeah. I'm about an hour east of Columbus.
I am about an hour and a half from Sandusky. That's how you know you're from Ohio. Yeah. You don't use miles, you use time.
Yep. I'll be up your way pretty soon. So
Went to Fantasticon in March. That was in Toledo. Oh, nice. Yeah.
We'll have to go.
All right, enough about us. Let's get back to you.
Ohio's the greatest place on earth. Yeah, so we're close enough to visit, far enough away to not show up unannounced. So it worked well. So we were stationed together. We were on a little boat trip. Scott got orders to catch a can of Alaska, and family wanted to live on a boat. So we went out and sailed his boat, the Peregrine. 6 days from Seattle to Ketchikan, where this idea has kind of blossomed on its own, and there was no looking back after that. It rolled off the tongue so well that we had to pursue it. Had to.
So, I mean, what about that trip kind of inspired the idea? Like anything in particular?
Rum. Yeah. we spent a couple of years working together in Buffalo, and we're brothers from other mothers. Stories and movies and storytelling and ideas, and somewhere in there we started talking about steampunk, and then it was while we were taking this boat trip that one of us said steampunk is always so 1800s Victorian England, mm-hmm. that we it's always an established technology. So we need to find it an origin story. We need to back it up to
where American.
Yeah, I mean, let's make it American. Let's stop with this English stuff. And
you know, I never really realized how much like English, like, or England influenced the style. Like it, it's all pretty much over there, right?
It is very very heavy with the
like London Underground.
Yeah,
it's cool. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's you know, with the pith helmets and the British military and the teacups and
a lot of monocles too, right?
Exactly. Wow. Yep, monocles and
cogs.
Yep,
put a cog on it.
Corsets and cogs. Yep.
And hat. You got a hat with some gears too.
Yep. Yeah. They don't make any sense, but put gears. Yeah. So we said let's put it in America and then let's have Ben Franklin do something. And we said, well, we don't want to take it away. We don't want to take anybody's real invention. So let's have Ben Franklin. He just tweaked the technology. And so he created in our store, in the Steam Patriots world, we've got the Franklin boilers that end up becoming propulsion for Franklin boiler carriages. And then kind of like what the Model T did, people would use like a tractor or run a pump off of it or put skis on it. And so we said, well, the Franklin boiler could be used in a mill and used for locomotion or a carriage or to pump something or to, you know, turn something. We have no idea.
Yeah.
And then,
which is in keeping with our use of steampunk as a character unto itself, in that since we're the origin story, it's got to start rudimentary.
Yeah.
And Scott put it the best, like it's only slightly more beneficial than a horse.
Yeah, it breaks down all the time.
Bad things are going to happen.
So yeah, I got to ask, is the Franklin boiler, was that like you were just wasting, you're like, you know, oil, let's do something with it.
I don't know.
Sure, take it. Yeah.
Let's go. I just picture you guys being wasted, you know, like, oh, this would be such an awesome day. So, I mean, what are some of the repercussions of going and having technology like that in that time era?
Ooh, repercussions.
But like, what does that do for the whole entire landscape? Yeah. Like that changes the whole entire environment, right?
Yeah, it will eventually have larger repercussions. As we start, it's like you said, just slightly more beneficial than a horse. Things will break a lot. It's like Murphy's Law. If it can't go wrong, it will go wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're trying to get, you know, better and better machinations to work with. And they're fighting against the Brits, who are going to be, you know, trying to do the same thing. So plans go awry. Whose loyalties lie where? You know, it's a lot of back and forth.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the British have the technology as well. So, there's a bit equally matched, except for, you know, it's the British juggernaut. But of course, materials and so forth. But yeah, we wanted some people to be able to get around faster with a machine. You can't sneak with a boiler, so there's just going to be these big kind of behemoths that roll onto the battlefield that are a big target. And even it's hard to see with my microphone there. This Dean Zachary carriage here that he drew, that's superhero Felix, like in the future. He's pretty buff. Yeah. Felix is looking tough. This machine is based on these little jars here. Mm-hmm. Ben Franklin actually created something that was the predecessor to the battery called Leyden jars, and they held a static charge. And we wanted to play off that and use that as a weapon. People will see how well it works in issue number two. Issue number one, it's the technology is teased, and the hero Felix. These plans that ultimately cause the initial problem because he gets a hold of them.
I never even heard of that. That is remarkable that some of that actually used to exist. Like, what all went into creating this story for you guys? Was there a whole lot of research going on? It just like I never even heard of that.
We. All those books behind Scott.
Yeah, I've read all these.
That's
I read
all of them.
It was like, we were researching all this technology, like the stuff was around. It was patented. It was just too expensive to make. I mean, there was a patent for a Gatling gun in England, just too expensive. So the technology was there. So that's really what we're playing on.
Yeah, and really, we'll go down the rabbit hole of technology and events and who did this and who was where and who said what. And I mean, and Ben Franklin's just a treasure trove for inventions, and his writings. We've got another character that was a contemporary, his name is David Rittenhouse, and he was a clockmaker, among many other things. And he and Benjamin Franklin charted in the movement of the planets and so forth. And they, England, the English smarty pants, the brainiacs, did not ever listen to the Americans. Everything from America had to go through England to be peer reviewed before, except until Franklin and Rittenhouse did their work, and they measured the transit of which one's between it. Mercury, right? Mercury is closer. Yes. To the sun. It passed between us and the sun, and they measured at the time it took to cross, and they took all these measurements, and it was like one of these things that these guys figured out that legitimized the American Scientific Society. Again, down the rabbit hole of what all these people did in the late 1700s, this time of science and botany and all this. But we can't put it all in there. We have, like, you know, anybody who writes knows you have this iceberg of knowledge, and then the readers get this much of it. We want to throw it all in there, but then we would have, then our comic books would look like, you know, that, like that. Yeah. So
which maybe one day we'll get to a comic book, a graphic novel that big. It'd be awesome.
So you guys said this came from a novel first, correct?
Yeah.
So how did that look like for you guys with the creative process, you know, after you came up with the idea, actually creating the book, you know? And a novel is like worlds different than a comic book. Yeah. Like, I'm sure just like you said earlier, describing this world must have been a challenge, right?
Yeah. So Rory, when we came up with the idea, I said, I want to write it. And I took the opportunity during a National Novel Writing Month. Have you heard of NaNoWriMo? Have you heard of that?
I'm not exactly sure, but it definitely sounds like something I should check out.
If you like to write NaNoWriMo, and I give them free advertising all the time because I love what they do. They you can do it anytime, but November is the month that they pick, and you 30 days to write a 50,000 word novel. Comes out to about 1,660 words a day.
Wow.
And what they tell you is just write every single day and get it done, because then you have something to work with. And so I think I got about 44,000 words done, and it's pretty bad. it's because they don't want you to stop and edit, and you just get the story out. And so some big changes can happen in the middle that you know you didn't foreshadow or that don't make sense. Your protagonist goes from a female Sasquatch to a male Martian, but you don't go back and change it. But we had ideas. Our original idea was Ben Franklin. The plans for his machine got stolen and went into England, and so Ben and Felix go off to England, and there's action over there. It worked. It was good. But what it did is it gave us the groundwork, the foundation for our story. And it, while it hurts to excise most of the story, it gave us something to work from. So we had this, 44,000 words of prose, but we had done our research for Felix. We'd researched Ben Franklin. We had researched the setting for our world. Some ancillary characters, real and fictional, which we stole some characteristics from other fictional characters to apply to others, and it was actually a stretch goal for our first campaign. People got the rough draft that I wrote, and I've not reread it. I can't.
I gotta ask, that seems like it was a nightmare. Like, because like, if you don't come up with that 1,600 a day, like the next day is 3,200.
You just sit down and write. You got to plan. You got to tell your family. You know, tell people. Sorry, I don't expect to see me. It's a lot. And some days, and if again, anybody who's written, you know, sometimes it just flows. You're just writing and writing. And some days it's a slog, and you can't get the words out. But when you turn off your internal editor, and this is something I learned with this process, it was really a great thing to have done, and I encourage everybody to do it, is because you turn off your editor and you just write. You just do it, and who cares if your sentence is clunky? Who cares if you have to change, you know, someone's hair color or, you know, oh, I'm killing this person right now, you know, but you didn't do any lead up to it. You know, that's not great writing. You'll go back and fix it. So to answer your question, how did it turn into a comic book? We had all that. We had the foundation to draw from, and we had the opening of the story worked for a plot. We had the setting, we had research. The issue one opens in August of 1776. That's when the Battle of Long Island happens. That's when the British come ashore in New York in force. Mm-hmm. We had research, and there's so many things happening just in that one battle that, again, we had to purge most of it because we want it to be Felix's story. We want to follow Felix.
Yeah.
And we want some key characters. And in issue one, he meets George Washington. And then Ben Franklin is the kind of the reveal at the end.
Okay.
And then issue two will take up right from there. But I would love to, having done all that, Rory and I've talked about, now that printing is easier for, individuals, mm-hmm. meaning like you can, pay to have just about anything printed. We would love to maybe expand the comic book to have a mix of prose or, sequential and, background.
Yeah, no, that'd be really cool.
So just words,
And yeah, I'd love to see like a battle on one page, and then on the other side, like this is what actually happened.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember reading about those old like Revolutionary Wars and Civil Wars, like the actual books that they would write about. I mean, it's such a such a crazy experience, Rory. Like, when you were like going there and creating some of that, like, how did you feel? Like, what were some of your favorite parts to kind of work around?
Work around anything that gave us a loophole to stick in Punk and Felix. Any part of the Revolutionary War, which was astonishingly well recorded, that we could shoehorn our story into, like a little bit of the what ifs in there. Mm-hmm. It's fun, and it's pretty much necessary to keep that in the gray involved in there. Gosh, other than like my favorite parts. Anything with Franklin is just endlessly interesting. The battles, the way they're described, take days to complete. And there's a lot of sitting around. And if it rains, we're not going to be doing anything. So it's a long, drawn-out story, which is not great for storytelling unless you're like building suspense. But the war isn't really about that. So being able to truncate it and edit it down, it's fun. I enjoy doing it, but it's also heartbreaking.
So Scott,
we probably did about like a PhD amount of research on
I was about to ask Scott, like, I'm curious as well, like, what, was there any like issues or like trials and tribulations with introducing this technology and making it work within your world?
Yeah, so we don't want to, we would like to follow real history, which is tough because we're introducing something that would fundamentally, change. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to walk the line of, so Felix is there's these made up weapons and technology, but Felix, he had an effect on certain portions of history, but we want to let the real people do their thing, and so he's going to kind of be doing a lot of support role, except for like Rory was saying, there's moments where things are a little sketchy, the history, or somebody wasn't there, and we could say, okay, maybe that Felix did it. We also mm-hmm. don't want him to be like, Forrest Gump, just there, and he's the reason things change. Or
I got shot in the butt.
Yeah. or be the magic schoolhouse where he's flitting around the country, mm-hmm. and he's there at every important event.
Fun.
We want him to be the focus. And so if there can be a moment where he works alongside somebody, we don't want him to take all the credit, because we want to follow real history as best we can, which is equal parts really difficult and equal parts. I mean, some people would say, it kind of makes it easier. Mm-hmm. It gives us a plot because you can look at timeline, you can look, okay, what happened next. And, but then to work him in, that's a bit of a dance to,
because you gotta make it. It has to make sense, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So that's when you have those loopholes. Like, we could have him do something, and his, you know, the negative effect is an actual event in history.
Like nobody that, knows. I love that. Happened. Like a butterfly like effect.
He's up and then it happens. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That is awesome. Like, so how did that come up? Like, how did you guys like land on that idea? Because that is a really cool to kind of have whatever he does just like be the effect.
If we look at what actually happened in real history, there's so much to choose from. And we figured like, how can he be part of it? Mm-hmm. And like I said, if it's a little iffy, it's easier because you can say, oh, Felix did it.
You know, I think of this thing. It's a meme. It's like how 9/11 inspired 50 Shades of Grey. And it's like the lead singer of My Chemical Romance was on a ferry and seen the towers dropped. And that's what inspired the band. And then the author of 50 Shades of Grey loved that band, which inspired the book. And it's like, it's crazy how this one small thing just sets off like a huge ripple.
Yep.
I have not heard that one. I've heard one about the Kardashians and the Buffalo Bills. I think I have to look that one up.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
It's another one. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say real quick before we dive into the Kickstarter, you know, taking this from the novel and working with your artist, how did that look like for you guys? Did you guys have clear ideas of what you wanted this stuff to look like? Or did you kind of let the artist like play a little bit in the world? Like,
well, go ahead, Murray.
You say we would write the script out. There were some things we definitely wanted. We wanted the well-known characters to look like well-known characters.
Actually look like them. Yeah.
And it was some artists take some their own leeway with it.
Yeah.
Really didn't have a set look for Felix other than he was a young man, you know, mm-hmm. teenager, rabble rouser, and just having that colonial feel. So we had to give our artists some background. So this is what Williamsburg looks like. It's probably what it looked like back then.
Yeah.
So all those kind of aesthetics needed to remain in place. Had some looseness with the steampunk technology, and that was probably the biggest concern. And excitement is like, oh, what are we gonna get back? How do you describe this and have them draw it? You know, but there's also times where the artist would draw something, a scene, and be like, I never thought of it that way. Like that, all right, artistic license is good sometimes. Yeah. And just like giving it to the artist and saying, I don't know what to do with this. Here you go.
Yeah, I had to calm myself down. I get neurotic. Mm-hmm. I knew. I mean, we wanted certain. There's certain styles of comic art that I know I like. So I was looking for artists who do that. You know, that's their style. We found some really good artists. And like Roy said, if you think about, okay, if you pick up anything, Marvel or DC, and if one comic to the next, you know, Tony Stark might look a little different. You know, mm-hmm. he's not. Mm-hmm. He might, or you know, Avengers Tower, or you know, they're not all gonna be.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we got to, okay, I can calm down. People are still reading.
Continuity, we get it.
Calm down. And then like with the technology. So like, again, Dean, there's all these gears going on here. Are they doing anything? It doesn't need to make perfect sense. It's a comic book. It's sci-fi. It's fun. But like you were saying too, getting the art back, sending the script off, and then getting it back and seeing our words turned into images is exhilarating. Because I can't draw. We'd give an idea and some panels we were real, you know, full plot, you know, the panel we want like panorama of this building is here left to right. This we want. And then other panels would be, you know, action carriage rolling down cobblestone street. Great. And we got it. A few times we had, you know, some few things not quite right, which is fine. You know, we wanted him to look distressed, not chagrined. And so I had to angry, not perturbed. But a few things were, you know, this is not quite right. But I mean, 95% of the art we got back was amazing. And to see it, like I said, to see it come to life is outrageously cool. And then when we can get like images like this or like our covers for the next one,
covers,
Quentin Bedwell's Ben Franklin face is so cool. And we just told him, we're like, here's what's happening. you can come up with something that would fit the story. And he mm-hmm. got this awesome freaked out Ben Franklin face with an explosion. And
is that him wearing the goggles too? Or
yeah, that's the
goggles. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a great job. And Peter Clinton's battle, both of them do faces so well.
Yeah, they love explosions too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. lots of explosions.
It makes sense though, right? It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I love how, you know, with the book, you're really putting the reader into the mind of the character, where this time around you're able to actually show those visuals off. You're able to see that and live in that world a little bit more visually. So I cannot wait. Guys, we are going to be switching over to the campaign right now to check out these gorgeous interiors. So give us 1 second. We are looking at Beyond the Stars 1 and 2 and Steam Patriots 1 and 2, a double combo. $2,753 of a $4,000 goal with 84 backers and 4 days left to go. Is this your guys' second Kickstarter or first?
This is the second. Yep.
So how are you guys feeling so far? I mean, I heard Kickstarters can be stressful.
Outrageously stressful. Yeah. You know, keeping the browser tab open and hitting refresh every 25 seconds, it gets tiresome. it's going okay. You never know. Kickstarters, crowdfunding, this one has a little less momentum than their first one, mm-hmm. which
is par for the course.
Heard is typical.
Statistically.
84 people interested, it is great. I love that number. I don't want to neglect to say we are teamed up with Beyond the Stars. That is Ron Fortier's book, an epic space story, sci-fi story. Both of them are issue number twos, and everybody always asks, can they get issue number one? The answer is yes. When we scroll down, you'll see them all. So anybody can get any Silverline title as an add-on. Mm-hmm. With in the campaign, and then right there is they make these Kablam Digital Printing makes these foil covers, and if you don't see them in person, it doesn't do it justice. They're a silver foil, and in this one it's around it and it lends a whole shine to the whole thing, but we got interiors there, we got a little opening. Hope it doesn't give too much away. Felix.
No, this is gorgeous too. I love like this shot right here, this huge page of them kind of seeing it all, and it's glory.
Those colors.
Yeah.
Mickey Clausen did the coloring, and he does a great job. We wanted all that energy and the lighting to be prevalent. He did a great job mm-hmm. with that. And Ben Franklin there looking all distraught, distressed.
So what's happening right here? It looks like things are going south.
Well, so this is one of those things that's a little hard visually. If you read number one, mm-hmm. which I encourage, you'll see Felix is a smarty pants. He's got his superpower is his, mm-hmm. his memory. And we said kind of like if you think of like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes, when he would slow things down and see them all and think it through. Felix can recall what he saw. And it's not always immediate for him. So, you know, sometimes he needs a moment. Right now he is actually, this is his brain power. When the lettered version is kind of explaining it while you're seeing it. So it's a little mm-hmm. clearer. Things aren't blowing up there. He is seeing all the parts of the machine.
Like an exploded view of it.
Like you stand right here, and then
okay,
so this is cool. I like this a lot. I think that's awesome too. Like now that I'm like clicking it and seeing it, like after the explanation, like him standing here, and then this is him like piecing it together. That has a lot of implications of what he's possible of too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we want in the opening of the first one, he gets the plans and he does see them. He sees them, I think it might be my favorite panel from the first one. General Howe is telling him, you better stop right now. Give me those plans. And Felix just takes them and he just dumps them in the fire. Yeah. Like, yeah, you want them? And he dumps them in the fire. And you darn kid. And off he runs. Mm-hmm. And he's chased by the British. And he shows up at Franklin's workshop, which that is very much Liberty. Ben Franklin was not in Lower Manhattan at this time, but we've given him this workshop, And he's got all the plans. The last issue ends with him saying, you know, it's all up here. I just need time to figure it out. And so in the opening of this one, there will be captions to help explain. There's a bit of a kind of a journal thing going on. A little like the journal is a little retrospective. You know, it makes sense.
I get what you said. Yeah.
I hope it makes sense. Because the other thing too, it's funny, and I don't know if this is a common problem. Sometimes you get the art back and you realize, well, I don't want the artist to have to redraw everything, but how do we draw it? Can we fix it with
dialogue
or, and we did, I think it makes sense. We've got the opening is kind of there's a journaling going on, and it, I think it makes sense.
I love that too, because that adds another layer of immersion to it. I feel like, you know, where comics really don't have that, but I mean, you know, is that from like your prose days, like doing the novel and kind of like taking that experience?
Yeah. And both of us too. I love dialogue, and I maybe overuse it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, when I have a mountains of works and people can say that Scott Wakefield overdid dialogue, we'll see.
Yeah.
I like what dialogue can convey in very quick fashion. So the same is, we had these ideas for journal entries, or we're going to have Felix start doing them too. Again, that's just time and energy. We would love to expand more like on Felix. We'll get there. But right now we have the other character who I don't want to tell people who he is.
Not yet.
He comes in and he's writing about when he met Felix. And so through his writing, he comes about to explain. And by that panel, you should get what's going on, because he's kind of explaining how Felix's brain works.
I really like when exposition's handled that way too. I mean, it kind of adds like a whole different style of direction with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is awesome. So let's go through some of these tiers real quick and see what all this hype.
I hope
so.
You
know, I think there is a little bit of a latency issue with your camera and audio. Sometimes I think you'll cut out a little bit. Yeah. Did you get that too, Rory, or is that just me?
I got that too. It happens.
it happens for me all the time. I don't know why. I do live out in the boondocks, but we have decent internet, so I don't know what it is.
Hey, Ohio's not better. Not better by any means.
I'm at school right now. I'm at home. I get the same.
We are looking at the digital double for $8. So you get both of these comics for $8 digitally. I think that's one hell of a bang for your buck, dude. Oh, my God. Because your book is what, 22, 24 pages?
24 pages.
24 pages? Yeah.
We did. That's supposed to be 22, and I went two pages over. So,
people getting wrong. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Roland came shaking his fist.
Roland yelled, I said 22. Oh well.
And then we have the variant covers right here. Cover A.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous too. So, what's going on in cover A?
That is by an artist. He calls himself Rodo. I always get it wrong. Rodo is drawing, I think, or Art of Rodo. I forget. Art of Rodo. So we got the whole workshop scene going on there. That's Franklin. You got Felix's legs sticking out, mechanic style. I love it. I don't know. It might, if it was up on a lift, I don't know. I think this is cool.
You know, isn't it crazy that the first two cars ever made crashed into each other? Like, how's that happen?
We should have had Ben Franklin under there yelling at him to hold the flashlight, you know,
just like everybody's mad.
Or asking for the 10 millimeter socket that he can't find. but we threw in a little Ben Franklinism there, saying haste makes waste. So that's one of his
I do
sayings.
And then we have the cover B is the explosion cover. Yeah. So this is love these colors, the gorgeous.
Yeah. Again, this is a Mickey Clausen colors. Yeah, I think he colored B and C, and Rodo did all the work on the A cover there.
So what do we have happening on C? This looks like an interesting cover as well.
So that, Rory, I don't, you can.
Yeah, so that might be a battle scene. That might be would be actually taking place with the Brits trying to stop this rogue young man.
And we thought about having him say yeehaw, but there's so
he
many.
He does look like he's about to get bucked off that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So our letterer, Dan Hosek, he also helps edit. And he's a great letterer because he goes, when he does his lettering, he just doesn't read, you know, what we say. He puts thought into it. And there's been a few times where he said, you know, if you chop this up or have him say this or chunk, you know, give the dialogue to somebody else, he's been really good. But what he also does is he will frequently send me pages with the wrong dialogue and they're hilariously awesome. But he has to, like I said, you have to label them. Do not use, because he'll say the stupidest stuff. But that's the beauty of digital comics, you know, digitally doing it, because he'll put people saying absurd things and yeah, yeehaw or whatever there. Or,
Hi-ho silver would be perfect too.
Yeah. And some expletives coming out of the mouths of the British there that shouldn't be on the cover for family viewing. But yeah, we do have a battle in the middle of issue number two, and this carriage may or may not show up, may or may not work, may or may not. People have to read to find out.
And things were insane back then. You literally had formations. You were loading up with the musket. Yeah, that had to take some cojones. Imagine having this thing come flying at you.
First of all, yeah, I can't fathom.
It was womanly warfare, wasn't it? Yeah.
I can't fathom like, you know, being shot or being shot at in that fashion.
Yeah, oh my god!
And then balls flying at you,
and then you're losing that. They're amputating that limb.
Yeah,
like
there's no saving it.
Yeah. Oh just my god! And then the cannons too. Well, the cannons were around then too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god!
Thinking about, you know, like naval battle too. Doing, you know, being in a broadside again. So this carriage shows up and wreaks some havoc.
That is awesome. So let's go ahead and make sure we check out the rest of these tiers as well. So we have there's two Kickstarters going on in one. We're going to kind of just focus on Steam Patriots. We're looking at the physical. Hold on 1 second. I could have sworn I just saw it. Where is it? This is a cover B then. Or no, cover A. Yeah. Okay. So is there a catch-up tier or is it just starts at two?
Yeah, these are the... Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think there is a catch-up tier.
We'll keep scrolling. We'll find it.
As an add-on as well.
So pledge $7 or more, you can get cover A for issue two, and then $7 or more for cover B as well as C. Awesome prices on those. We have the double digital at $8 or more. You can get both cover A's for both issues at $12, cover B and cover C. I love how the variants are the same price as the standard as well. I mean, what kind of made you guys want to go that direction?
Well, that was more Roland and then
I gotcha.
Yeah, they're running it for us, so we're just.
And he really he likes, you know, giving. Of course, the half the point of doing these crowdfunding is for people to get exclusive content, and then it's not available later. So that's something to draw people in to back it now and not wait till later. I do want to reiterate too, all of the Silverline books, all the campaigns, everything's done. So there's no speculation. People aren't, you know, you're not backing, you're really just pre-ordering the book. It's done. Once Kickstarter releases the funds to Silverline, they tell the printer print and away it goes.
And speaking of that ketchup, we have the digital double ketchup tongue twister there for 12 or more. So you're getting four comics for $12 digitally. That is one hell of a price right there. Then we have the Steam Patriots issue 2 foil Kickstarter edit. So 15 for that. Wow, that is one. That's awesome for the foil.
Yeah, they're cool. They're really cool. And this is the only time you're going to be able to get them. I want to buy 100 of them. It wouldn't help my budget.
And then we have retailer tiers out here too for 20 or more. Awesome. Both Kickstarter foil covers at 25 or more. Yeah. You have pledged 30 or more. You can get Steam Patriots 2 Completionists. So is this going to be everything that you guys have with the series?
Just for all the number twos.
Number two, yeah. Yeah, you get all the covers, yeah.
And then we have the complete completionist. So this is going to be both Kickstarters running at the same time. And then that's it, guys. So right here is the link. Check this out. Like I said, if you can back, we'd love to see it. It is New Comic Book Day. Treat yourself to a new book and make it this one. If you can't, put the link wherever you can. Share it on Facebook, Twitter. Word of mouth is 100% free, and you guys have nothing to lose just simply sharing it. So with that being said, you two, for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them to kind of help push them over that?
Why would you be on the fence?
Get off of it.
It's a great story. People think, oh, I'm not into steampunk and I'm not into, you know, maybe not into history, but it's a great story. We didn't want it to be heavy handed for either of them.
It's a great gateway drug.
It's a great, great setting. And I think, I think we really wanted our characters to be deep. So for people who like fun, it's an enjoyable story with action. But our characters are well developed and, issue one
will be expansive.
We had lots of great feedback that issue one grabbed people and we ended it on a cliffhanger. Two keeps the story going, and we would really love if it's popular enough, we want to keep our Steam Patriots world going, and it could, the potential is there to keep growing our world here.
So Rory, what about you?
Get off the fence, commit.
Get off the fence.
Like I said, gateway drug. You don't have to be too invested in American history, the revolution, steampunk. It's just a little smattering of it all. It's pro-America. Everybody can enjoy it. It's just an adventure that you can delve into. It's quality entertainment.
No, that's awesome. And this is just issue two of a 4-issue miniseries as well. Can we expect issue 3 anytime in the next year or so? Like, what's next for you guys in 2023?
Yeah, we're hoping against hope to get 3 and 4 out. 3 is, we're saying, almost at the artist.
Three is almost ready to go to the artist. So, yeah, our goal is to get these out this year. It's tough being, you know, doing a side gig and then working with an artist too. If you don't regularly feed your artist, they gotta find other work, and we get it. Yeah. You know, move on and set yours on the back burner. So 3 is just about ready. Script wise, and 4 is plotted out, but a lot of times when we get work back, well, there's changes that happen. It's great, and they're usually great. They usually make it better. And so 4 is about ready, but you know, something might, we might get some art that surprises us, so that might affect the plot of issue 4, but we know what's going to happen. We've got it mostly set. So yeah, keep an eye out. And I mean, my plug is Silverline on all the socials, and then Steam Patriots on all the socials. We try to get all the news out there and tease and
momentum
art
to get for momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is awesome. So are you guys working on anything else outside of this series? I know you guys are co-creators, like together, like anything you both are tackling on together or maybe separately.
Well, I've got a couple of other novels on my back burner right now that I've started.
Let's go, Rory. Oh, man.
I probably have about 10 different titles. Anything from adventure to
pick
horror.
One, Rory. Pick one.
Yeah, pick one and just go with it, man.
I wait for that inspiration. So they'll eventually all be done at the same time when I'm 85.
I've got if this, both of us, you know, specifically the two of us, if the Steam Patriots world keeps going, We have ideas for one shots or other mini series within the world, and there are so many characters that we could follow. Savvy readers will have noticed that we just gave a passing nod to Felix's brother in issue number 1. Rory is working on what is his brother up to. And if we're able, we want to grow, you know, follow his storyline as well.
Oh, that's so cool. So
we really could just keep this world going. And I've got other comics ideas. I like the idea of a world that I can keep working in, that we can follow our characters through for. I mean, this world, Felix could go into the Barbary Pirates and War of 1812.
Keeping it geekly 2023. I mean, I'm seeing it too.
You know what? He can time travel. We don't. But yeah,
we really need to fix all of our screw ups. Time travel.
Alternate universe.
I am really, like, you know, when you were talking about that, like earlier, like when I said repercussions, like I'm thinking like current day, like what today's society would look like if this kept going.
Yeah.
And we could, the idea of steampunk is too, like, people do bring it into the modern time where it didn't progress beyond steam technology, which makes you can be a modern time with steam right. power, everything.
Kind of like Final Fantasy IX, it feels like. I don't know if you guys ever played Final Fantasy IX.
Yep. That you were not the first person to say that. That the steampunk aesthetic has multiple iterations, and it could fit in a modern setting. We don't know if our Steam Patriots world keeps going. We had a Western idea, take it into the 1800s, and
that's so cool.
There's so many other little ideas. Again, limited by our budget, and if people buy our comic, we would be outrageously happy, and that'll keep us writing.
No, that is awesome. So guys, before we let you go, two last things real quick. I always love asking for a little bit of advice for anyone who might be, you know, kind of just struggling getting going in their own sense, you know, whether it's writing a book or a comic or anything in between. So with that being said, we'll start with Scott. What would you guys say to anyone who might be just needing a little push to kind of get motivated?
Rory's heard this advice about 1,000 times for me, because it's my advice. Get something done. the whole NaNoWriMo thing that I talked about. Don't edit yourself to death, because you're gonna get so sick of your story, you'll get halfway through and you'll have a drawer full of half finished stories.
Yeah.
Get something done, beginning, middle, end, and then you can work on it. And it is an outrageously good feeling to say, I wrote something. I got an end, you know, I got it to the end. And then go back and work on it. And then also don't be scared of everybody else who's gone before you. Just do your thing and then do it again and again and again, and it'll get better. It'll get better. And you're gonna polish. Ernest Hemingway said the first draft of anything is excrement. He used the expletive, but
yeah.
But then you go back. Then you've got something to work on. So that's my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mine would be probably, I think Scott was paraphrasing somebody else when he said, write drunk, edit sober.
That's Hemingway as well.
I think that's Hemingway as well. Yeah. No, and I would say, write for an audience of one. If you enjoy it, if write something you want to read, because there are like-minded people out there.
And if you write what you know, like to read, then you're going to have love for it. You're going to have passion for it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. Yep. So, guys, outside of creating, what are you consuming? You know, what are you reading? What are you watching? What if you play games, what are you gaming on?
I just finished Picard. Right. That was fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I gave up on that through halfway through season one, and I know I got to go back. I've heard it improves. My computer is propped up by my Dungeons and Dragons books right now. I'm sitting. I've got my DM screen in front of me, and my dice are here. I love D&D. I've been reading the Destroyer Men novels. I don't know if anybody's if you've heard of those. There's like 9, 12, 15 of them. By Taylor Anderson. Alternate universe, a World War II destroyer goes through a portal into another world, and it's another Earth. It's awesome. It's awesome. If you like sea stories and stuff, it works really, really well. And then I've been enjoying Manifest on Netflix. I've enjoyed that show. I think it kind of got mixed reviews, but and it's only 4 seasons, and the final episode doesn't come out till June. They did some sort of weird thing with it. Netflix picked it up and goofed with it, of course. But
that's always so weird, isn't it? When you have to jump like subscribers or platforms, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, and we're watching it, and one of them swore, and I was like, wait a minute, this was a network show, and then I realized, oh, well, now it's Netflix. Now they can swear.
Oh yeah, so, no, that would be weird too.
I didn't know until it's like, wait a minute, they can't say that. but yeah, so then something happened with, of course, the filming schedule, and so the last few episodes I have to wait for. But it's been fun. So that's been our TV show, and I'm old. My wife and I will try to watch a show at night. We both fall asleep because we got kids. So
hey, that kid grind. I got 3 myself, and you when you get free time, you got to find it, and that's often far and few, right?
Yes. Yep. So we have one. We'll pick one show. So it's not, so we don't sit going through Netflix. What do you want to watch? What do you want? We pick one show. We'll stick with it. So Manifest has been our show.
And then it's a fight, you know. Yeah. You can't watch it without the other. And then we find out.
And we'll joke about how many times are we going to get interrupted. You know, we're going to start our show. It's 9:30. How many times is a child going to walk into the living room and have a question? So
yeah, that's why I had to do these interviews at certain times in the day, because I would have my kids come up here and like I'd be like, off my hand would be like this. I'm like waving them and they're like, Dad. I'm like,
No, yeah, my daughter was just on the other side of the camera here just a moment. She snuck down and went around. And I love that video. There's that politician where the kid comes in and his cleaner or nanny comes in and she crawls. I love that video.
No, that is awesome. Kids are great though. Kids are great. Just sometimes when things are happening, you gotta have a little focus.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it is time for us to wrap up, guys. So once again, right there is the link in both chats. Scott, Rory, thank you both for swinging by. Breakdown Steam Patriots and put some steam in the gas. This has been one hell of an interview. Hopefully we rolled a 20 on it. I know you said D&D, so I had a segue there too. Everyone watching, have an awesome, fantastic Wednesday. But most importantly, keep it geekly.